Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Thank you for that kind welcome. I'm so honored to be sitting here today to get to share with you. My name is Danielle Kelly. I'm Pastor Trey's wife. This is the first time I'm on stage to introduce myself today. And I want to first give you a little bit of a disclaimer that this is not my normal day job. This isn't what I do every week. So if you're a first-time guest, I would love for you to come back. My husband is amazing. I would love for you to hear him teach. But normally I'm sitting there giving him all the goo-goo eyes as he teaches because he's simply amazing. I love to see how God uses him. So make sure you come back one Sunday to hear him. But I am honored to be up here today for Mother's Day, just sharing a little bit about something that God's done in my life. For those of you in the room today who are moms, we hope that you feel honored today. We're so excited to have you here. And if you are not a mom in the room today, I 100% believe that this message can be for you as well. I think if you are breathing and have a pulse, this is something that we could all use as we kind of dive in today to what we're going to talk about. I will tell you, whenever I began to pray about what I was going to speak about today, God just kept bringing to mind this one word. And I will be honest, I was like, no. I don't know if you follow God with your life, you ever do that? You're like, no, you have the wrong person. I am not going to talk about that. You're crazy, right? I just kept praying. I had a whole list of things that I personally was like, oh, this would be great to talk about. But as I kept praying, he was like, nope, this is exactly what you are. I was like, gosh. And it's so ironic when I tell you what word it is, right? You're going to be like, what? I was rolling my eyes because God wanted me to talk about joy. Like, are you serious, God? What it really was you've picked the wrong person, is what I thought. You know, if there is one thing, one part of having a relationship with you that I should not be talking about, is joy. Because I often feel like in my life, joy is not something I notice as much as I do some other things. I kind of want to introduce you to my family a little bit. I have a picture up here for you. These are our three boys. Aren't they sweet? This is Jacob is our youngest. He's 6. John is 9. He's in the middle. And our oldest is David. He's 11. And I know you look at this picture and you probably think, well, how could you not have joy, right? Look at the little one with this little twinkle in his eye. You know, if they're born and they have a twinkle in their eye, it's for a reason. It's so that you won't literally hang them by their toes, right? That's what it's there for, right? So I truly love these kiddos of mine, love my husband. And we do have joyful moments in our house. But if I had to say, like, oh gosh, joy is one area that we are just killing it, I would not be telling the truth up here. At all. You know, I think through like love, I really think we're loving each other pretty well. I mean, love in our house looks a lot like a wrestling match. It doesn't really look like loving and holding each other and cuddling a lot. You know, it's more of a wrestle pit. But they're still loving each other pretty well. You know, patience seems to be growing in our house, mostly because we don't have toddlers anymore. So we are a little bit more patient with each other. If sarcasm was a fruit of the spirit, our family would be masters. I don't know if your family is like that, but sarcasm we've got under control. But joy is often something I feel like in my life is lacking. And when I don't see it in my life, I don't see it in the lives of the people around me. And I wonder if any of you in the room feel the same way. So as God just kept putting on my heart to talk about joy, and I thought back, I was like, okay, God, you must really want to work on me in this area of my life. So I'm just going to share a little bit today of what God's been trying to teach me over the last few months about finding joy, having joy in our lives, because I know this truth. I know the truth that Jesus came, he lived, and he died, and he came back to life so that we could have life to the fullest. If you're not a Christ follower in the room today and you're hearing that for the first time, it's the whole point. He said, I came so that you could have life to the fullest, and a full life is a life full of joy. And I desire that so much. In fact, one of the verses that God used in my life to try to just show me, hey, wait a minute, maybe there's something missing here. You know, you often hear about people like, well, don't compare yourself to like the Proverbs 31 woman. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Often in my life, especially because I love how God gently speaks to me, if you hear God as like a deeming voice, like, oh, that's not how his character is. That doesn't match to him. But if I see something in Scripture, if I see something in his word that I'm like, you know what? I'm missing that. It is not a I'm guilty. I don't feel like I'm measuring up. It's a I want that. I feel like this is something I'm missing in my life. And he did that in my life through Proverbs 31:25, because it's everywhere. You see this verse everywhere. It's on T-shirts everywhere. All the churches in the U.S. today are reading this verse, right? Because it's supposed to be like, this is something you can have in your life. I want to read it to you. It says, she is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. I want that. I don't care. Guys, change it to he. He is clothed in strength and dignity, and he laughs without fear of the future. Right? Now, I did not go to seminary. I kind of want to break this down. I didn't go to seminary, but when I look at these words and it says, she is clothed in strength and dignity, if it probably reads in the Greek that she is clothed in yoga pants and a t-shirt, then I am a master at it. But strength and dignity means there's a confidence about you. There's a confidence about no matter what is happening today, I know it's going to be okay. No matter what mess is going on around me, I know it's going to be okay. I want that. And it sets up perfectly the next part, and she laughs without fear of the future. I feel like I am a referee over who's holding the fidget spinner more than I am someone who just laughs through her day, right? And if you don't have a kid and don't know what a fidget spinner is, stop any 9-year-old in the hallway. They will pull one out of their pocket. They all have one, right? So laughing throughout my day can be so difficult. It's not something that comes naturally to me. And I'll be honest, for a long time, I was really upset that it didn't come naturally to me. Like, why doesn't this just happen? God, I know who you are. I love you. I trust you. I want it to just happen. Laughing without fear of the future, I honestly, the sarcastic part of my brain says, doesn't he know I'm sending my firstborn child to middle school next year? I mean, fear is my middle name, right? I have a son who's literally allergic to food that he could put in his mouth. Fear, always. It steals away the joy in my life. And I've kind of always had this in the back of my mind that I really wanted my life, my house, my family, to be a house of joy. That actual phrase is something that I really have always wanted in my life. I don't know if any of you have ever thought about that, whether you're married or you're here with a family or whatever. A house of joy is just something I've desired. And I really haven't put forth the effort or the thought of how to do that. It's just I wanted it, you know? And this actually came about to me. I got this idea when I was in college. I was finishing up my student teaching. I was in grad school at Carolina, go Gamecocks, and I got paired with a teacher in a child development class who was just one of those people. You know what I'm talking about? Like, she exuded joy, like every part of her. She just walked in with a smile all the time. She was so happy, and I was like, I think you have to be that way if you work with four-year-olds all day, by the way, but she just had this joy about her, and I'm like, oh, it was magnetic. I loved being around her, and she taught me a ton. And one day we were talking, or I overheard her talking. That's what happened. I overheard her talking to one of the other teachers about her Christmas tree. Guys, this was the spring semester, so it's April, and I'm in her classroom, and I'm like, did she just say her Christmas tree? Like, surely she does not still have that up. So I asked her, I was like, please tell me, did you just tell me you have your Christmas tree still up and it's April? She said, girl, she's like, my tree spins, it plays music, and the lights blink. I leave it up year round because it gives me so much joy. In fact, that's what I call my house. It's the house of joy. And I was like, yes, that's what I want. I could just see it, you know. I mean, I don't want the Christmas tree up year-round. That's not what I desire. But I do desire to have a house that is full of joy. And I guess my question today would be for you in this. Do you want to have joy that is present no matter what is going on around you? Do you share that with me? Because I find myself constantly searching for it. So to start off today, I just kind of wanted to define joy so we're all on the same page. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. When was the last time you felt great pleasure and happiness? Was it this morning when your feet hit the floor at 5 a.m.? Probably not, right? That's good if you have a newborn, if all the parents in the room, right? 5 o'clock, it's like, oh, we slept in. That's amazing, right? But when was the last time you felt great pleasure? My guess is whatever produced that, whatever made that happen, you are trying your hardest to continue to make happen because we all want this, right? We all want it. We're like, what can I do to produce that again? And for all the parents in the room, we always feel like we're the ones who are having to manufacture the joy for everybody else around us, right? And what happens when we're the ones who are always manufacturing it, trying to find it? Well, maybe if I go take them to this special place, or if we're on vacation this time, it'll be joy. There's joy here, right? We grow weary. And it's not reality. We have bills to pay, right? We have jobs to do. We have carpool lines to sit through. It's not the reality to constantly be the person who's manufacturing joy. So I hope you find some freedom in that today and to understand that that will not produce joy. That'll just produce a worn out person who is bitter at everybody else for being happy and they're miserable because I've lived it, right? That's what happens. So as I have begun looking for, okay, how can I always have joy in my life? How can that be something that's constantly there? I came across a truth that I really didn't like, if I'm honest. It wasn't something I was interested in. And it was the truth that joy is a choice. It's a choice we make. And as somebody who knows Jesus, loves Jesus with all my heart, follows him, I'm like, nah, nope. This is just supposed to fall in my lap. I'm kind of one of those people like, well, you know what? If it falls in my lap today, great. If not, I'll just make it through the day, go to bed, start over again tomorrow. Joy, no joy at all. That is not life to the fullest. And I know I'm missing out on something. I actually have a friend, Emily, who has been saying this for years. She would just say, you know what? In a loving way, joy is a choice. I want to soccer. I'm like, I don't need one more thing to do in my life, right? There's like, that's what it feels like to me. I have to do something else. I don't want anything else to do in my life. Don't tell me. It's a choice. But what Emily had learned that I had not yet learned was that no matter what, we're going to choose something. We're going to attach something to the moment that's happening. Why not choose joy? We can either complain about it or we can be joyful about it. One of those two things is going to be there. And she would just lovingly remind me, hey, you could choose joy right now. No, just stop it. Don't tell me that. I don't care if it's true or not, right? And it's interesting because, you know, when I think about we can put anything in that place, we're going to assign something to that moment. What is it going to be? I feel like Paul tells us this so clearly in Philippians 2. Oh, gosh, I'm already a page over. Hold on. Y'all know I don't do this for a living. Hold on a second. Thank you. Okay, in Philippians 2, Paul says, verse 14, do everything without complaining and arguing. I love this, the complaining part, because you know what kills joy faster? Nothing. Nothing kills joy faster than complaining about it. And just a little side note, if you have young kids, this was the very first verse that my children ever learned, ever. Not John 3:16, not it was do everything without complaining or arguing, because when they were 2 years old, that's all I wanted them to know, is they should just listen to me and do what I said, right? But do everything without complaining and arguing is the key, one of the keys we need to make sure we have joy in our life no matter what is going on. We can complain about it or we can be joyful about it. And I know for many of you, it's like, and this is my reaction, so if it's not, it's just me, just don't say anything. But I immediately think, well, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just being real, right? I'm just being real about what's happening in my life right now. I need that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But what God's been showing me is they're both equally real. In that moment, you have the choice to be equally real about what you could complain about or what you can be joyful about. It's a choice that we get to make. One of the little examples I would give from this in our life is the basket. I call it the basket conundrum. My children can shoot a ball in a basket in the driveway hundreds of times in an afternoon. They play basketball together all the time. Clothes in a basket never happens. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. You literally just did this for 3 hours outside with your brothers. But clothes in a basket can't happen. What is going on? Maybe this isn't just for parents. Maybe you're married to somebody like that. Or maybe it's you. I don't know. Right? But I will find that at the end of a long day, clothes not in a basket can be one of my firing points. And the world is over. Why haven't they learned this yet, right? Complaining about it, having a bad attitude about it. But I have so much to equally be thankful about in that moment, to be joyful about in that moment. Like the little boy who doesn't put his clothes in the basket hugs me like 1,000 times. Like almost unhealthy. My husband's like, oh my gosh, he's going to hurt me in my sleep one day. You know? He loves me so much. He has the ability to play with his brothers outside, and they play together. They fight, but they also play together, right? And I also have the authority as his mother to hand down the consequences he needs to remember to do what I've asked him to do the first time I did it. See, joy, right? But truly, I'm like, I have a way that I can continue to mold his heart. And I'm thankful for that. I see that. I have something to be joyful about. So they're both equally real in our life. And I am incredibly, I am very habitual about choosing the complaining instead of the joyful. I always do what's automatic, which is usually complaining, instead of remembering that joy is a choice. Joy is a choice for us. But here's the coolest thing. When we realize, when we understand that truth, that it's a choice for us, it unleashes something supernatural in our life. So how do we do it? How do we choose joy? The Bible is full of people who live this in example, but one of the best places I go to find this is the Psalms. The psalmists who wrote were very real with God. And they would often start with God, this is really how I'm feeling. Things are not always going well. And then, boom, they are instantly full of joy. And the psalmist in Psalms 100, chapter 4, I feel like he gives us the key. This gives us the key of how we can choose joy in every single moment. It says that we enter his gates. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Guys, when I have zero joy, what God has been prompting me to do is to give thanks in that moment. You're like, come on now. It's counterintuitive. You don't need to give thanks in the moment. It turns you. And here's what happens. When we give thanks in a moment where we feel like there is no joy, it turns our eyes to the one person who can bring you joy. All the things around you that you see, oh, wait, this might fill it. Nope. But when we stop and we think, God, you are here, we start thanking him. You enter his gates, and it is supernatural, the joy you feel. It's not just like, oh, yeah, that's happy. It is a flooding of your heart. So giving thanks is actually what has begun to produce more joy in my life. In our house, we like to say we want to live with an attitude of gratitude. And I know that can seem so surface level because, like, you know, you tell a kid, hey, what are you thankful for right now? Mommy, daddy, and the flowers. And you're like, no, that's like super general thankfulness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking in the moment, what do you see that you can tell God thank you for? Because what you do when that happens is you recognize that he is present, that you are not alone. And everyone in the room needs to hear that today, but especially some of the moms. You're not alone. I am here. When you give him thanks for something specific, it points you to the specific one that gave it to you. And that produces the amount of joy in your life that I've never been able to experience until I really got intentional about, okay, if joy is a choice, how do I do that? I'm going to thank God right now. I'm going to intentionally look for how he is present in my life. And when I remember how he is present in my life, I am able to say, God, you are so good. You are provider. You are enough. You are everything. It points me straight to him. And there is nothing that brings you more joy than that. To remember that God of the universe loves you. He knows you. He cares for you. And when we thank him for what we see around us, it points straight to him. You know, my husband likes to say a lot of the times, God will make you practice what you before you preach. Like, he'll make sure, you know, hey, did your heart really get this? And not out of like, oh, let's see if you know it. It's more, I want your heart to get this. I love you. I want this for you. So Friday, like as in 2 days ago, yeah, this is a story. So I am going on a field trip. Friday, we went on a field trip with my son, John. He's in third grade with his class. We had to get to the school super early, like 6 a.m. We got on the bus. And there's like 50 kids on the bus and some parents, chaperones, and teacher. And we realized, like, by the time we got down the road, we're like, you know, it's a little hot in here. It's not super comfortable, but it was early in the morning, no big deal. We get down to Charleston, and we go to the aquarium, and because I had, it always happens to me, a group of boys, they're always boys, in my group, we spent more time at the outside exhibits. They were having more fun there, right? So then we went and sat on the sunny, grassy outside knoll where we ate our lunch in the sunshine. And then we got on the bus in the hot sunshine. It was like 90 degrees. And we rode the boat. We rode the boat to Fort Sumter where we spent the time in the hot sunshine. And then we came back and we had to stay out on the grassy knoll a little bit in the hot sunshine. You get where I'm going, guys? It was hot. We were sweating. Some of these third graders are as tall as I am. They're like, oh, we were dying. We go to get on the bus to go home. It felt like he'd left the heat running on the bus. We got in there. It had been sitting in the sun all day. And it was almost, you couldn't breathe. The air was broken. But there was no way for us to get back to Myrtle Beach. We had to ride back on this ferry bus. And so we were sweltering. And when I'm talking, I'm always cold natured. Anybody who knows me personally in this room is like, you were hot, guys. We were taking the ice packs out of our lunchbox and sticking them down the back of our shirts. If I've got ice directly on me, it is hot, right? It is so hot. We had kids getting sick. We had to stop at one point to let a few of them off. I mean, it was not a pleasant place to be. And I'll be honest with you, I spent the first part of that hot bus ride texting one of my best friends who happened to be on the other bus that was air conditioned, that I thought I was in literal hell. Like, I thought, this is hell. Like, this is what it feels like. Hot, there's sweat. Like, it was awful, right? So I'm texting her all this, and I look down. I had taken my notes with me because I was supposed to study on the bus with all the third graders. And that didn't happen. I look down, sweat pours off of me, and I see the words, choose joy. I see the words, joy is a choice. I'm like, oh, all right, God. If I have to see joy, so full of joy, right? But I did. I stopped in that moment, and I challenged myself to find three things that I was truly thankful for, not just in what I had, but in where I could see God, in where I could see him. And it was like it flooded my heart, you guys. I looked over and I had noticed that John was taking his ice packs from his lunchbox and he was giving them to his friends first, specifically the little girls in his class. And I was overjoyed that I could see some of the stuff we're teaching might actually sink in, you know? It was this moment of like, thank you, God. Thank you that you're teaching him and working on his heart. I got to see parents step up and put in the gap for kids who didn't have parents on the bus, and they were loving them like they were their own. But the biggest one for me was John's teacher. I'd, of course, spent the summer before he started third grade praying for the person he was going to spend 7 hours a day with. As a parent, that can be hard. I'd spent all this time praying for her, and I'd been taking him all year, and I I kind of understood who she was as a person, but I hadn't spent a whole lot of time around her in the classroom setting, and certainly not on a hot bus in that situation. You guys, she loved every single one of those kids like they were her own. And all I could say was, God, thank you. You answered that prayer. I see you in this moment, and I know you are present. And it still stayed really hot all the way home. But my attention was not on the heat and the sweltering. It was on the goodness of God that was sitting right around me on that bus. And I need you to know that is not a story to say me, because I told you I spent the first half complaining about how it was hell. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit entering that moment to say, I am present. I am powerful. I am here. I love you. Look what I'm doing. And that produces joy that nothing else can compare to. And I know that I've kind of been telling some what I would call first world problems. A hot bus, yeah, that's not fun. You know, laundry in a basket, that's not fun. And some of you are saying, well, sure, I would love to be able to choose joy. I would love to be able to give thanks, but you don't know where I am today. Maybe Mother's Day is a very painful day for you. I know for some of you it is. Maybe your mom's not here. Maybe you've lost a child. Maybe you want to be a mom and it's just not working. Whatever your situation is where you feel like joy can't be present here, I want to tell you a story about a mom that I know who lived the unimaginable and chose joy in the middle of it. A few years ago, about 5 years ago, it's been a while, I read this book. It's called Choose Joy by Kay Warren. She and her husband, he's a pastor of Saddleback Church in California, and she wrote this book. And you know, when you write a book, you write it in advance, and by the time the readers get it, you've been free from it for like 6 months. And so she pours her heart out in this book. And I get it, and I start reading it, and I'm mad because it says joy's a choice. I don't want anything else to do, right? And about three chapters in, it starts hitting the news that she and her husband have lost their son to suicide. He had mental illness his whole life. They tried everything to heal the brokenness in his brain that just couldn't be healed here. And she talked very openly about how God had prepared her spirit, her heart, to be able to still see him moving in the very darkest moments that unimaginable pain. She talked about how it wasn't easy. She talked about how she sometimes didn't want to. But if she really stopped, she really gave thanks, she could look around and still see God working. And she describes joy this way in the book. She says that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Because when we praise him, when we thank him, he is there. His powerful presence is with you. So to read these words, as I knew she as a mom was walking through the darkest moments of her life, was very challenging for me. I'm glad 5 years later it finally stuck, right? But it's so true. And I hope that the truth today that you hear is that the powerful, loving God of the universe is right with you all the time. And if you can stop just long enough to thank him, to see him, you and I can live a life that is full of joy, because joy is a choice. It's funny, I have another friend, Brooke, who has prayed that prayer about what joy really is over my life for a long time, probably because she knew that I needed it, truthfully. But I want you to know that I'm going to be praying that for you guys and for myself. That we can begin to see our lives for what they are. If you have breath, you have a reason to be thankful. And when you are thanking God, you are entering his gates and he will flood your heart with joy, with life to the fullest, no matter what. We're going to end today with two things. One, I'm kind of a formula person, so I like to kind of have a framework for how do I do this? What do I really need to do? And just for me, what I've done, so this isn't like a by the book, this is just a help. I need somebody to tell me what to do. I begin challenging myself. When I find a situation where I should complain, I try to find three things right then. Not general thankfulness, but God, where do I see you right now? Turn my focus to where he is and thank him for it and unleash the gratitude and the joy that he wants in my life. And the last thing is we're going to close with a song today. We're going to close with What a Beautiful Name. And I want you to know that when you turn your attention to God and you give thanks to him, he is enough. He will bring you joy. So I want you to find this time as we sing this song to just think of him. Thank him for being provider. Thank him for loving you. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for peace. Just turn your attention to how amazing he is. And I pray that the supernatural joy of God will fill your heart. Let me pray for you. God, we just thank you so much that you desire for us to have life to the fullest. We thank you that you know we can be clothed in strength and dignity and laugh because we trust you. We know that you are so good. And you have all the good things in our life. We give you praise for that. I pray as we wrap up today, as we end this time, that we just leave with our attention on you and the fact that you give us joy in ways we could never imagine. Help us to just see you being present in our lives. We thank you for your powerful presence. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you for just who you are and how you love us. I pray that we are encouraged today and that with every step, every moment, every mundane, every big moment, every little moment, we see you in our lives. And we thank you for that. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.